The Cap'n J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap'n J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Oh, God! Welcome in to the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a hoodwinked Tuesday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Thanks so much for watching and supporting the show on Twitch. We've got Che, we got JR, we got you for a three-hour ride here. We will hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:30, but Cap, can I just tell you something? I mean, I want to talk to you about the Bears, and one of my favorite Bears spoke yesterday, but can I just tell you, I mean, listen, I understand the pressures of the job. I understand, hey, we have got to be able to perform every morning between 7 and 10. Cap'n J Hood Nation is waiting to hear what we have to say. We can't wait to talk to our listeners and our callers today, but my God, man, if you're going to blaze up and smoke weed, do it at the house.
Excuse me? Yes,
the idea that I see you, I'm on the elevator this morning, and, you know, I don't expect to see you on the elevator, but, man, you get to,
Actually, the elevator door's open. I was on it, and you were waiting to get out.
When I get to the elevator, I don't expect to see you. That smell that came out of the elevator.
That wasn't me.
I don't appreciate that. I just want you to know, listen, I know there's pressure to the job, but the idea that you're blazing up.
My God.
I got high just when the doors opened this morning.
Tell me about it.
Because of you.
No, that was not me.
Cap, listen.
I got out of my car, I got into the elevator, went, oh God.
Well, Cap, listen, this is why God made vacations. If you're a little stressed, that's fine. But you blazing up before the show, don't know if that's the right idea. I don't think
that was not me.
I don't think good karma wants that. All I know is that when the door is open, when I saw you this morning, hey, what's up? And you stumbling off the elevator.
No, there was no stumbling.
I thought that was a little bit odd.
There was no stumbling. I don't know who was in the elevator before me, but they were certainly enjoying themselves.
Now, I understand that you don't have the greatest sense of smell. I understand that.
Correct.
But enough. You had enough in that beak to know what was going on there with the with the ganja.
I don't have a great sense of smell.
Yes.
And even I could smell that somebody had been on that elevator. I told you the one morning, the door's open, and there's a sheet covering a body.
Yes.
Laying in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dead person here. Mm. And then he stirred. Ah! I walked down several flights. Yes.
I just, Cap, if it's not you, okay. But I just know that that's the first smell I had when the doors open. Ta-da! Weed.
That was not me.
Okay. That's just an odd thing that happened.
Odd dynamic.
Well, I mean, with you. I mean, I don't think that you were, doing that around the office. All right. Nonetheless, the Chicago Bears will be taking on the Washington Commanders. As I told you in the meeting this morning, hey, man, Thursday night football trucks are already. I drove past Soldier Field in the darkness. You could see the lights. The guy in the, come on back. Beep, beep. Right. Oh, God.
It's the Amazon truck.
Here they come, Cap. Here they come. They're ready to set up. Thursday night football is emblazoned right on the side of the truck. Amazon Thursday night football. I said, hey, is Al in there? Al? Has he made it in yet? Is he driving the truck?
Herb Street, does he help Maybe Bezos is out there. Hey, is that bald dude Jeff Bezos?
For the whole world to see on Amazon, the Chicago Bears. There he is. Come on back. Come on back. Here we go. Terrible football. Here we go. Come on back. Washington, Chicago.
You think Denver and the Colts was bad? Oh, God. Just wait.
Come on, Bears. Put on a show, man. Put on a show, right? Hey, Thursday night football. You had a bad game last Thursday. Put on a show. But we talk so much about the quarterback and Justin Fields, and we talk about leadership and when he's going to be good, when is the offense going to be good. Well, one of the things that I do know, Cap, watching the Bears, is the leadership that comes from David Montgomery. You know how much I love that guy.
Yeah, you do.
Now, no matter how much someone will devalue the running back position, all I know is that he's the heartbeat of the offense, running the football, as if we're having this
conversation.
He's not. Yeah, what do you mean?
He's not the heartbeat of the offense.
Yeah, who is it?
He wears number one.
Okay, well, that heart needs a transplant. It needs a little help. All I know is that the guy that's pumping his legs and getting yardage is David Montgomery. He's the guy. Now, there's going to be a time, hopefully this season, we'll say that Justin is, but all I know is that the guy that runs the ball with a reckless abandon, that feels like, hey, man, if I don't run the ball now, I may never run it again, he's that guy. The heartbeat of the offense. The lanes are open. Who gets the yardage? That guy.
Yeah, I would call him more like one of the spark plugs. Him, Mooney. Those are spark plugs. Justin is the heartbeat of the offense.
Okay. You going to put a sheet over Justin at some point? As bad as that offensive line is? Oh, God.
Yeah, I worry about it.
Well, so do I. So do I. I like that one, Montgomery. There it is. There's the
the Amazon people.
Seriously. I look at David Montgomery because when those that running lane's open, Cap, that guy's is a fabulous runner. Fabulous runner. I'm not saying that he's top five, top seven running back we've seen in a Bears uniform, but for this iteration of this offense, he's the guy. I like what he had to say yesterday, a number of things he mentioned.
He talked about the leadership of Justin.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how the offense has done some good things. They've had some moments that aren't so good, but he sees progress, and there's good things coming. I hope he's right.
The passing game is we're getting on the roll, so it can be really, really good. So to have that balance is good. It helps in the run game, and the run game helps the pass game. You know, it helps at all facets of the game. So you got to be able to do both. And We're trending up to getting better in both. Yesterday we got to do better running, like I said, but you know, Justin is he's doing an incredible job being a leader, but being a quarterback and just picking this thing up. You know, he's getting really good.
Leader, he said.
He did.
In that 30 seconds we just heard, he talked about leader. That's the thing that resonates with me the most. It is important, Cap, in this season of transition, trying to figure out who can play and who can't, that you have someone that will stand tall and say, yeah, I'm getting my brains beaten out, or maybe we fall short, but I know that I'm going to have to be the guy to lead this team for now and the future. That's important for a young player, isn't it?
It's important to a degree. It can't just be about that. It's got to be about production on the field, too. Tough to be a leader if you're not producing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not producing because you got no chance. Because you're running for your life. Your receivers have no separation. Guys are banged up. There could be a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the leadership part is where it all starts. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Because he's the guy with the ball in his hands a lion's share of the time. So I would expect the leadership to come from number one.
So do you, after hearing, and we'll play Coach Eberflus mm-hmm. talking about him, the Flus gave his thoughts. You mentioned David Montgomery. Other guys have said very complimentary things about Justin Fields. Do you believe this regime, who didn't draft him,
mm-hmm.
are all in, that's our guy? Because I do. I believe, deep down, that's our guy.
Well, there's two ways to look at this. One is you believe in Justin Fields, mm-hmm. even though this is not the person you drafted. You believe in him. You do everything you can to get him protection and weapons for him to flourish and for the offense to flourish. Or you do it the Colts way, and say, we're evaluating him for this year. If he's not going to be the guy, then we're going to bring in a veteran quarterback that can get us closer. The Colts' way in the last few years is just getting veterans with skins on the wall. It hasn't worked out too well for Chris Ballard. It's a good effort because you're trying. But I just believe that in this league, if you can find a young quarterback and that guy can be able to make a difference for your team, you're keeping him there for a decade. It's so important, this position, Cap. You could either go the veteran route or stick with Justin Fields. Now, for those that look at Fields today and say, well, what we see today is who he is, that means that you're not watching the league or not watching how a quarterback can learn on the fly, learn while he's the quarterback of a team. And then while that's going on, now here comes a wide receiver. Now comes a tight end. Now you're getting better with your offensive line. It's all about development. Not all at once, but over some time, Justin can be the guy with the proper weapons around him.
And how quickly can you get said weapons? Because they've got $110 million approximately for next year in cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're going to have a higher pick than others believe. I think you're with me that it'll be a very high pick. I think it's higher than even you think.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not going to be every single thing you need in free agency. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So how long is the process of bringing in said talent to protect him and to give him options to throw to?
You know, the process of trying to find offensive weapons would be sooner if the defense was doing their job.
Right. The defense isn't playing very well either. They were better in the second half.
Yeah. Now, I know it's not sexy to be able to just lay out some defensive issues with the Bears because all the conversation is predicated on the quarterback and the offense. But if the Bears were the traditional Bears in which you had all pros or difference makers defensively, then you'd say, in free agency, I'll give someone from the scrap heap here, scrap heap there, and really focus on offense, really focus on the offensive line and weapons. It's almost like the money has to be allocated on both sides of the football as equally as possible, Cap. I am dismayed that you can't find a Bears lineman to get home to the quarterback. That better not be the case on Thursday. You can't get home. Alex Brown talked to us about it yesterday. And so you got one rush from Robert Quinn that we saw in the game on Sunday where he got close to Cousins.
He was the lowest graded defender on Pro Football Focus.
And
dead last.
And Gibson.
On our team.
And Gibson did a nice job. He was trying to get to the quarterback.
Correct. Dominique Robinson blocked the field goal and was pressuring.
But, man, if I knew that the Bears had enough weapons defensively, then I'm saying, hey, get yourself that wide receiver. Get yourself that a couple offensive linemen, draft and free agency. But I'm concerned about the other side of the football, too. I mean, you can't – Brisker and Gordon are going to grow in the position. I don't know what they're going to be ultimately. I have no idea. But it's important for you to be able to have a semblance of defense. If you're all about takeaways and you got a defensive coordinator as a head coach in Eberflus, you better be solid defensively. That's your expertise.
But if you don't have the talent to be solid – it doesn't matter how brilliant a strategist you are.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why they haven't paid Roquan.
That's right.
Nice player. $20 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not so quick.
When we talk about the Bears picking a lane for this season, Roquan's part of that lane.
Correct.
Of deciding, is he part of our future or not? Now, listen, I'm biased. I love Roquan Smith. I watched every snap of him at Georgia.
Would you love him as much if he was Roquan Smith from the University of Texas?
He's a Bear, so yes, but not as much as a Georgia player.
Right.
Yeah, because I invested time. I watched Texas, but not as much as I watched Georgia every week.
Well, Georgia's your team.
Yeah. So it's interesting that we look at the present and the future of the Bears. So Cap and I want to ask you this question. And, Shay, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Again, we got Hoodwink coming up, an opportunity for you to win a Lou Malady's gift card coming up at 735. But do you believe the Bears, the organization, the team, is all in on Justin Fields? That's the question that we have. Do you, based on what we've talked about here, based on what you've seen, do you believe the Bears, the organization, is all in on Justin Fields?
And you'll hear from Matt Eberflus talking about Justin and the offense. I think it might sway your opinion.
So we'll hear from Eberflus and take your phone calls coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see
Shot. No Shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, we have Albert Breer, our Monday morning quarterback from SI.com, will be with us at 8:35. He's hot about these concussions. He's not happy about how the league has been officiated, that's for sure. So we'll talk to Albert about that. But first, we got Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the app right now. Live bets, exclusive in-game, same-game parlays, the lightning bets, and for the ponies. Thank you, Secretary. Good morning. Hope you're well.
See you dead.
The Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
From the grave. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Well, Cap is still thinking about Secretariat. Still alive in his heart.
Call your doctor if it lasts more than 4 hours, Cap.
Wow.
Oh!
Still a regret that I did not have lunch and go down to Claiborne Farms. Anyway,
you go to Hawthorne and just talk to any horse if you'd like.
No, it's not any horse. Okay. It's the greatest horse ever with a heart 1.5 times the size of its competitors.
Okay, that would be you, actually. Then you'd be Secretariat of ESPN 1000.
Thank you. Shay.
All right, boys, I have a few questions about the Bears, focusing on their Thursday night matchup a little bit. The first I want to ask is...
What's wrong with you, JR? What's the problem?
I was just thinking I'm going to probably have to go to lunch with Cap before, you know, I can't anymore.
He called you a horse. Hey, man, you're not a horse, but you are the goat. That's for sure.
JR's got a little tear going down his cheek.
You guys are all just envisioning. He's gone. Let's go.
All right. I want to ask about parity in the NFL, which is at an all-time high. Seemingly every game is tightly contested. Last night, we saw a one-point game between the Chargers and the Chiefs. 11 of 16 games in Week 5 finished with final score differentials of a touchdown or less. Even Tom Brady was asked about competitive parity being closer than ever. He said he's seen a lot of bad football. Every team in the NFL has at least one win. Mm-hmm. Only one team is undefeated. The Bears are one-point favorites on Thursday night now after opening as dogs. With a win, would be 3-3, would shock the world after 6 weeks and in the thick of the NFC North race. So my question, shot or no shot, with the NFL tighter than ever, the Bears could actually play meaningful games in December?
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. I know where you're going with this because I believe they're going to beat Washington. My partner's not sure, but 3-3 through six games, I'll take that all day, even in a rebuilding year. But Shay's point is well taken. Look at this league. Everybody's average except for a few teams like Philadelphia. Actually, just Philadelphia and the Bills.
I'm going to say no shot.
Meaningful games in December, no shot.
No shot.
No.
No shot. Just, again... Justin showed progress the other day. No shot.
Can I just tell you
they
something?
They have no talent.
How about this? If there are meaningful games in December, we got to change our vacation plans.
Correct.
Oh, I mean, God.
Look at these rebuilding teams, though. Like, we enter the season, the Giants are in a rebuild. They're 4-1. The Jags are in a rebuild. They're 2-3 now. They've struggled a couple weeks, but they've looked really good. A lot of these teams that you enter the season, you go, they're rebuilding. Are winning. So I look at this league and I'm like, wins might be easier to come by than ever because the talent gap is so small if you're not the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Eagles.
It's a good point, though, don't you think?
I mean,
look at this league. I mean, everybody's average to above average except for those two few teams he just mentioned.
The Chicago Bears will not be playing meaningful games in December. There's zero chance.
I say no shot. You say no shot. If it is... Oh, God.
Merkin, we got to revise that schedule.
Seriously. If it's going to be meaningful games, we're going to be in here in December.
Yeah.
We're still in here? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's usually off around the holidays.
Merry Christmas. Do you think Justin Fields is a guy? 3-1-2-3-3-2.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, but seriously.
By the way, you know there's a guy out here putting up Christmas lights.
I see this guy, yes.
He's around the light poles?
October 11th.
Well,
That's disgusting. I
just had an impromptu shot or no shot about it because I noticed it as well. I was going to ask you, shot or no shot, Christmas lights after Columbus Day is appropriate.
That's a no shot. I mean, you want to do it after Halloween. And I know you people that's putting up decorations. I see you people in the suburbs in the city. You know you're going to keep those up through the holidays, too. You're going to keep them. They're on the evergreens and on the roof and everything else. A lot of you guys will not take those lights down. You'll just mix them in and put a few more Christmas lights up. But you're leaving them out there until the end of the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. It's not appropriate. No shot. Not appropriate. 75, it's way too early.
72 degrees a day. Christmas lights
are on. Come on, man. What are we doing? I break out in hives when I see the back-to-school sales.
Shay.
All right. It's no question the Bears need help at wide receiver. One name in particular may have moved from potentially available to on the market, and the Bears have been linked. After firing head coach Matt Rhule yesterday, the Carolina Panthers have made it clear they are open for business, and that will include wideout DJ Moore. The 25-year-old Moore's production has dwindled in the Panthers' offense with a rotating door at quarterback, but could be a reclamation project for Chicago and aid in the development of Justin Fields. So my question, shot or no shot? The Bears should trade for DJ Moore.
I'm not giving up a top 10 number one pick. They're going to ask for your number one. No shot.
Depends on the deal. It's got to be something for the future.
If I can trade a second round pick.
Down the line. Third round pick. Few. I can't.
You're not getting my number one. No shot.
That's got to be down the line as far as a deal. So, but again, where are you going? What's Do you feel, I like Shay's question because, say for instance, the Bears beat the Commanders on Thursday, which I think you're 500. Do you roll the dice if you're Poles, or do you stick with the plan? The plan is to keep playing Smith, Marsette, and Dante Pettis.
You stick with the plan. It's a bad football team.
To take, excuse me, take.
That's exactly. Cap, I don't know what you're watching. There's so much talent on the roster. Stop yourself. There's not.
That's not the Bears guy that's talking to you. That's the Cubs guy. He says there's a lot of talent in the Cubs. That's that guy.
There are the lunatics out there that I think there's talent to win 11 football games. You have to schedule 70 games long.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask the Bears' upcoming opponent. They will play the Commanders on Thursday. And there's a little controversy going on at the quarterback position after Ron Rivera made some comments yesterday. Take a listen to this.
Aaron, following up on John's question about the Giants, you know, they're up to a faster start. The Eagles, the Cowboys, you know, they've kind of all been rebuilding too the last couple of years, and it seems like they're farther ahead. Why do you think the teams in the division are farther ahead at this point?
Quarterback.
Oh, God.
I mean, with quarterback, like the Cowboys, for instance, they don't have Dak Prescott this season and still have been able to.
Well, they started with Dak, but they built around Dak, and the offense is built around Dak. Their backup's a guy that is very solid inside of what they do. And the truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
Chose the quarterback here, though, so do you have any regrets about that, or how do you...
No, I got no regrets about their quarterback. I think our quarterback has done some good things. There's been a couple of games that he struggled. But you look at his numbers from yesterday, and you would say, okay, look at his numbers he's had throughout the year. There was a time he was, you know, very solid. And then, you know, we had the unfortunate Philadelphia game, and he struggled a little bit in the Dallas game. But the way he performed yesterday, it just shows you, you know, what he's capable of. And, you know, we chose him because we believe him. We chose him because we looked at what we felt were things that pointed towards him.
Little lengthier there, but I wanted to make sure we got all of it so you had the context. He also clarified his statement saying other NFC East teams have had time to build their offenses around their quarterbacks. Washington has not had that advantage. They're still breaking Carson Wentz in. That did not stop former Washington quarterback Alex Smith from going on Monday Night Countdown and saying the following, quote, "When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. This is a defensive head coach that is absolutely driving the bus over his quarterback." So, shot or no shot, Ron Rivera threw Wentz under the bus.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because I think he qualified it. And he said they've also had time to build around their quarterback. You know, Jalen Hurts got A.J. Brown, and they have an amazingly good offensive line, and they got Miles Sanders, and they went and got all these people, Devontae Smith. Washington hasn't been able to do any of that.
You have you have the worst offense in your division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you take Jalen Hurts, you take Cooper Rush / Dak Prescott, you'll take Daniel Jones. Hats off to him. Maybe you do have the next Eli Manning. We'll see. But yeah, he's right. So what's the difference? Well, quarterback and quarterback stability.
Correct. This guy's what, 5 games into his career there in Washington? He did not drive the bus over.
Now, if you want to use that to fire Chico, go ahead. If that's what you think that needs to be done. But all I know is that Ron Rivera has kept some stability in that tumultuous Washington Commanders organization. That owner, Daniel Snyder, is he still in hiding, by the way? Is he around?
Yeah. I mean, it's an awful organization. If you believe what you hear coming out of there, there probably will be a change coming. I listened to Boomer Esiason this morning on a different show. He was saying there's been talk that Rivera's lost that locker room a little bit. So we'll see what happens, but
he's the boss. You know what? He's right. And if the truth hurts, so be it. It's true. It's about stability at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they fire Chico. They got how many more years and how much money left?
Hey, Matt Rhule just got fired with $90 million wrapped up.
But they have turned the entire organization over to Chico.
Yeah.
He hired, I think, his daughter and a bunch of other people to fix the culture there. I'll be surprised if he gets fired. Again, if he's lost the room, Shea may be right on the money. We'll see.
I think that because of what's been going on, as we've read about the Washington Commanders and that owner and just the way that organization's built, I think Ron's at least been a steady hand so far, even though the team is underachieving. Go ahead, Shea. You got one more, please?
By the way, he got a 5-year deal at $7 million a year in 2020.
He's a friend.
I love Chico.
Yeah, he's a good
friend. He was my radio partner. You were his producer.
I was.
There you go.
Speaking of head coaches or managers, according to Bob Nightingale, 3 names are leading the way for the White Sox managerial candidates: Bruce Bochy, Ron Washington, and Mike Schilt. So shot or no shot? The White Sox were never really interested in new school managing.
I'm going to say no shot because Rick Hahn is not tipping his hand who he's involved with. And just because those guys are older doesn't mean they aren't new school thinkers.
Who was that supposed to be, though, on that list, Shay, that's supposed to be, as you mentioned, quote-unquote new school thinkers? I kept seeing veteran managers or veteran guys. Who's?
I wrote down a bunch of names that Shay mentioned in the meeting. Ron Washington, you just said, Bochy, and Schilt?
The full list from Nightingale was Bruce Bochy, Mike Schilt, Ron Washington. Those are the top 3.
Yeah.
Then John Gibbons, Bo Porter, Joe Girardi, and Joe Maddon.
Gibbons? God almighty, where's he been? We got to dig him up from the grave? The old Toronto guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell you, that's a lot of old school names, man.
Almost swore. But John Gibbons.
Like, Joe Girardi is old school, but he's analytics. Joe, I mean, he was a chemical engineer? Or he was an engineering degree from Northwest.
Oh, he's very smart.
Like, he's brilliant with the analytics and all that.
I love Ron Washington, my man with the cigarette behind his ear.
He's the guy in the movie Moneyball. One of the fans how to play first. That was Ron Washington.
Yeah. He should deserve another bite of the apple. I would agree with that. I just...
Tell him, Wash, it's very easy to play Earth. It's incredibly hard.
Wash. To me, it's Bochy off the top shelf. If he's available and ready to go, that's top shelf. That's my Billy Donovan hire for me.
67.
Yep.
Not that that's old.
WMAQ. What about it? No, I think at the he's my top shelf guy. How many years does the Sox need to be able to get to the World Series and win it?
Two.
It'll be 69. Nice.
Great number. Go ahead, Shay.
All right, we will go around the NFL. We've got we got overreactions too around what we've seen in the NFL. We'll get to that. Albert Breer at 8:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood. Come on with us.
Cap and Jay Hood mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
Here's a man who loves his fiddlehead beer, watching Monday Night Football like the rest of us. Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
You enjoy the halftime periscope there, Hoodie?
It's the best.
Yeah.
You were so freaking aggravated yesterday. A lot of us are with the officiating, right?
Yeah. I mean, you look at it and there is, in one sense, I feel for the officials because it's hard when, you know, there's the player safety thing and everybody's talking about it in the wake of Tua a couple of weeks ago, when you're trying to balance that versus, you know, where is the line and where is it too much? What I don't like about all this is the lack of accountability, right? Like, and I think if there's going to be a public trust here, it can't be Carl Cheffers or Jerome Boger over the weekend, you know, coming out after making these mistakes and saying, well, I was totally justified. Like, it's fine to explain your reasoning. It's also fine to say, you know what, I might have gotten this one wrong. And I think that's the problem, you know, is in a lot of these cases, the officials aren't held accountable. And, you know, in the case of last night, you know, obviously, you know, it happened in the second quarter, so it wasn't as consequential as the Grady Jarrett hit. But, you know, these can be big game-changing decisions. And, you know, when you only have 17 of them, you can understand where there'd be a lot of frustration on the part of players and coaches.
All right, let's get closer to home. Bears looked pathetic for most of the first half against the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, 17 of 17 to start the game. And then they made some adjustments, and Justin actually played his best game of the season. Your take on what you saw from Justin, and is it sustainable on a team that has very little offensive talent?
Well, you know, I think the important thing with Justin is just that you're seeing consistent progress. And, you know, the good news is, in my mind, that you got a guy who's going to work. I mean, the stories I've heard from the offseason, you know, on the job Justin did, just being diligent and being thorough with his work. If he becomes a great quarterback, you're going to hear these stories 3 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, where there was a week where the players were off and he gathered trainers to throw with, you know, at the facility. So, you know, I think, you know, there's no question about Justin's work ethic. There's no question that Justin's intelligent enough to pull this off. The question is whether or not he can get better in areas where quarterbacks generally have a hard time getting better. We've seen Jalen Hurts do it, right? Like, we saw Josh Allen do it. Like, so can he get better at throwing with anticipation? Can he get better with his pocket presence? Can he get better with his accuracy under duress? Like, these are areas where I think you're looking to see improvements. And, like, they're small steps, but we're seeing steps. And so that's encouraging. And, again, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be sitting, you know, at a press conference a year and a half from now, giving Justin a $50 million per year contract because he is the answer, right? It doesn't mean that. But, you know, it is encouraging to see week over week improvement. And I think, you know, after everything that he's been through over the last month, you know, the fact that he's able to compartmentalize some of his struggles and keep fighting through it, I think shows a great deal of mental toughness, which I think if you talk to the people in the building now, you know, and of course Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and a lot of the other people there had nothing to do with drafting him. I think that those people would tell you that that's probably his best quality is his mental toughness.
We heard comments from Ron Rivera, the head coach for the Washington Commanders. Like, what's the difference between, you know, your team and the other teams in the division?
Yeah.
You talked about quarterback. So what are your thoughts on the Commanders? That's the next matchup for the Bears. Cap and I were talking about, hey, at least there's stability with Ron because of the tumultuous, you know, what's happening with the Washington Commanders with their front office. So what are your thoughts on that team?
You know, I sort of like, I look at it a little bit like, you know, Ron's old team in Carolina. And, you know, I don't think, like, Matt Rhule ever lost the locker room, you know, in Charlotte. I think it was more just the owner getting impatient, the fan base getting impatient, and you had this sort of cauldron situation where, like, you get in that game on Sunday at home and you're overrun with Niners fans, and it's clear that, like, apathy has set in. It's not even anger anymore. Now it's turning to apathy, and the owner acts. And, you know, like, Matt Rhule did a lot of really nice things over 3 years in building the roster up. You know, I think the lesson to take from it is you can't wait forever on the quarterback. And that's what's so interesting about Ron's comment yesterday is that, you know, you're saying, okay, well, it's the quarterback. That's the issue. Well, okay, you've had 3 years to get that right, you know, and do you get a fourth year to try and find a true franchise guy? So that'd be my first thing is, like, I think they've done some nice things to build the rest of the roster up in the 3 years under Ron Rivera, and I think they're in a better spot than they were when he got there. Just from a roster standpoint, they've got some nice foundation pieces on that team that you can build around. You know, the question to me is, like, how much more rope he gets. And, you know, obviously, in the short term, you know, what we're looking at is, does he lose his quarterback now? Like, is his quarterback going to be able to trust him? Because one of the big things for Ron in bringing Carson in was, we have your back. Like, you're here because we want you here. And obviously, you know, like, that comment sort of goes and flies right in the face of a lot of the messaging they've, you know, built up around Carson Wentz over the last 6 months.
So if you look at this matchup on Thursday, it came out the Commanders were favored by a point. I think the Bears are a 1 or 1.5 point favorite now. People around here kind of assume, I know we're not very good, but we're going to beat the Commanders. I look at the Commanders roster, I don't think it's a fait accompli that this is a, you know, a clear Bears victory. I think it's a tough game. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders aren't, it's not a bad team, you know. They've got some pieces. You know, the D-line, they've obviously got some horses up front. Now, Chase Young has been out, so that's they're a little less in that group, but they still have, you know, guys like Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat. So they've got a good group there. You know, the defense has talent. Fine. The offensive line's been an issue, but they've got skill position players too, you know. And if you want to go through the list, you know, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, you know, Dyami Brown has played pretty well for them. Antonio Gibson has been a nice piece for them in the backfield, J.D. McKissick. So it's not a bad roster. And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, in a lot of ways you could argue if you drop a quarterback in there, now all of a sudden you might have a playoff team, you know. And so that's where the Commanders are after 3 years of building. Right now, on balance, I'd say they might be more talented than the Bears. They probably are more talented than the Bears right now. But, you know, if you look at the way the season's gone, the first month of the season, I'd say the Bears have played better, have been more competitive than the Commanders have been.
What's in your phone? Give us something that you haven't written yet or told in another talk show. Tell us
well,
what you have to tell Adam Schein.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some trade talk, I can kind of give you guys that.
Oh. Like
I think that the firing of Matt Rhule in Carolina might start to goose the trade market a little bit. You know, and it always takes something to get it going. We have a little less than a month until the trade deadline. And so, you know, like, there's been a lot of, I think, you know, discussion over what's going to happen with the Panthers players, and that could loosen things up across the league. If teams are looking to get rid of players. And the two players on the Panthers roster that I'm told have well, this is the most interest over the last couple of days by far, are Brian Burns, their 24-year-old pass rusher, who, because they haven't been very good, people don't pay attention to him. He's one of the best defensive players in football. And then the receiver, DJ Moore, who signed an extension in the offseason. And it's a very, let's just say if you're trading for him, it's a pretty team-friendly extension. Those are two names to watch. And, I don't know, man. Like, the Bears, you look at where they are, and if they want to give Justin a weapon to try to get answers on Justin a little quicker, they could inquire there. Now, my feeling is Poles probably wants to hold on to his draft picks because they were without a first-rounder last year. But there at least is that option out there for them. And, you know, if teams are sniffing around on Brian Burns and DJ Moore, generally what that means is you'll see teams starting to sniff around on other guys at those positions as well. And so I think, you know, because of the firing of Matt Rhule, because that's prompted some trade calls to the Panthers, it could lead to things like loosening up a little bit in the trade market. And maybe we hear a little bit more of that talk over the next week or so.
All right, my friend.
Have a great rest of your day. It's going to be an interesting Thursday night game.
I'm wondering, what do you guys think of the orange uniforms?
For the Bears?
I love them.
We've seen the orange jerseys before, but obviously not the helmets, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. It's just something different. Waddle has the striped throwback from like the 30s.
Oh, my God.
It's just different. I think it's cool.
It's fine for just a one-off. That's fine.
I'm not wild about it, but I hate it when Ohio State wears alternates too. So I guess I'm like one of those old guys now.
You're the traditionalist.
Yeah, I'm shaking my fist at the cloud whenever like an old brand name franchise goes with something different. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see it's like you want to see Alabama with the numbers on the helmets every game. It's that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's all about marketing and dollars. You know that.
That's right. Absolutely.
Buddy's going to buy an orange jersey today.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good day.
All right, guys.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com with us here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah. By the way, why did you throw a dollar in the fine cup?
My question about the Commanders was clunky and terrible. It was awful.
I thought you didn't have your mic turned down.
No. It was such a bad question. Instead of just asking him, hey, what are your thoughts on the Commanders? I went all the way around the bend and trying to get to Daniel Snyder, and
it was a bit clunky.
It was a clunky question.
We've all been there.
Yeah, so I find myself, because I took up too much time on the show with that nonsense.
You might want to push that down. It's a lot of money in that cup.
BerniesBookBank.org.
Take that, Darren.
All I had to do is have a little brevity in the question, and that did not, so I apologize for that.
312-332-3776.
Well. Oh, there's the number.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10. Then Mike Greenberg takes over at 10 o'clock. Carmen Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Into Bleck and Abdallah, and they will lead you into Major League Baseball playoff action. Guardians at the Yankees, followed by the Padres and the Dodgers. I'll probably mix right here.
I'm gonna be up late again.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Padres, Dodgers. Come on, Padres. Knock out the dirty Dodgers.
That's one of my favorite matchups, even though the Dodgers are the hammer and the Padres are the nail in the regular season.
Clevenger against, who'd you say, Julio Urias?
Julio Urias, right.
I think the Pods can win that game.
I love that matchup. I enjoy watching that game. Even though the Dodgers have been dominant in the regular season, I enjoy watching those two perform.
And it's -220 on the Dodgers. Take back +200. +200, Jay.
A lot of -200 dogs out there in the playoffs today.
Hey, take off your headphones for a second. I need to see something. Right now.
Excuse me?
I said take them off. Take them off right now. Take off your headphones. Let me take a look. Let me check you out. Let me see. Nope. His ears are clean. Yep. My partner's ears are clean. Me checking Cap's ears is as ridiculous as umpires checking Joe Musgrove's ears for red hot. Or
that?
Salve, or whatever he had on his ears.
Correct.
Now, when we saw that, Cap, a couple of days ago, where Buck Showalter, God bless him, just crazy old baseball face. You know, he knows his Mets are against the wall. The Tommy Trumpet's not getting it done.
Or Timmy.
Yeah, Tommy Trumpet. He's not getting it done. And Cap, there you have it. They chucked the starter, Joe Musgrove's ears, and they couldn't find anything.
Snorling was the first one on that. And he was texting. Were you texting just me or the group?
The group.
He was texting the group. He's cheating. He's got stuff on his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took off on social media because somebody put out a picture, zoomed in. That don't look like sweat to me.
But the Mets were late to check on it, though. It was the sixth, wasn't it, Jay? Fifth or sixth?
Yeah,
inning?
It was the bottom of the sixth, and Buck came up out of the dugout and had him check, and then he got cleared. There was nothing on his ears. And then did he strike out the side? I mean, they
yes.
fired him up. It was bulletin board material.
See, again, you give an athlete an inch, they'll take a mile. Clearly, Musgrove's ears. And it was a couple other, I want to say McCutcheon also tweeted that too. Andrew McCutcheon's like, yeah, he's got some on his ears because they're red like a clown. And so it's like, it's not because someone put him in a side headlock and his ears are like that. He wasn't wrestling. There might have been something in his ears. But you know what? But you're late to the party. By the time he got to the sixth, there was nothing on his ears. It was nothing going on. He was dominating the Mets.
He was dominant. And he's a guy who would have gotten a huge contract in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
He was a free agent coming up. And the Padres, this little moribund market that has no support, allegedly.
Yeah.
They got Juan Soto.
Yep.
They got Machado.
Yep.
They got Yu Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Musgrove, we'll give you $100 million right now. Take it and don't go to free agency. Done. I love it here.
Yeah. And for me, I'll be a partial season ticket holder in a few years.
Yes, you will.
In San Diego.
How about that?
JR, is all right for me to do some shows out there?
Peacock, I'm not home for dinner tonight. Why? Nationals are in town. I got to see that game.
Want to check about? The other thing about baseball, too, and we're going to talk about Jed Hoyer coming up at 9:15. He had a almost hour press conference. Some juicy bits in there from Jed Hoyer as far as the future of the Cubs.
Correct.
We'll get to. The other thing, too, we talked about earlier was the automated strike zone. So now where is this now? Because we heard from Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. He was on with Carton, right? Let's play that for us a little bit here. What did he say? There it is, the automated strike zone on the Carton show.
I think that you're going to see the automated system in one form or another. We're using two forms in the minor leagues, one where every pitch is called by the machine. The second one's a challenge system. It takes about 4 seconds for the challenge. I think in one form or another, there's a good chance we're going to be using it in the big league level at some point.
At some point, he says, you still like the human element.
I do. I mean, I'm whizzing in the wind. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. I don't like it. Players I've asked don't want it. But it is what it is.
And what does Major League Baseball deem the strike zone? I mean, you got short players, you got tall players.
Right. There are a lot of the experiments that they've used. The automated strike zone struggles with the breaking ball. Like the really Verlander nose-to-toes curveball, they struggle with it.
JR, I know as a baseball traditionalist.
You remember for years there was a different strike zone in the NL than in the AL?
That's correct.
You remember that, right?
Yep.
I mean, this wasn't a myth. This was actually how it was. It's about time we get, now that we have the uniform DH, it's about time we get a uniform strike zone.
I would agree with that. But you got Altuve to judge in this league. What is it belt to knees?
Right.
What is it? And can it be consistent? That's the question.
That's the question. They struggle with this heavy breaking ball. Is it a strike? Is it not a strike? Anyway, we'll get to it after the break.
All right. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're talking to you about the Chicago Bears. And do you believe that Justin Fields is going to be the guy long term? Also, Jed Hoyer with some thoughts about the Cubs offseason plans. Stick and stay on Chicago's Home for Sports.